Hi, thank you so much for joining me for Spiritual Not Religious. This is Tracy Rowe, and I am a counselor, an energy worker, and also an interspiritual minister. What does interspiritual mean? It means that it includes all aspects of spirituality and is not religious in any particular way. People sometimes say non-denominational, but that usually means, for instance, a Christian minister who is not a particular kind of Christian minister. But I'm I have the interspiritual minister thing as part of just acknowledging that I don't adhere to any particular religious paradigm, but I can see the value in a lot of religious paradigms. I look at them more in the context of archetypes, but that isn't to say that I'm detached from them and that I don't see them as inherently energetic, inherently holding the energy of something bigger than me. So it's not an academic relationship to archetypes, but it's more of a acknowledging that they are representative of something beyond my rational mind, and that my rational mind likes to grab onto something symbolic like an archetype in order to engage with that aspect of greater consciousness. So, when I talk about spiritual and not religious, that doesn't mean that I'm avoiding or ignoring the value of any religions in and of themselves. Religions and one's engagement with a religious phenomena is itself very powerful. I think what happens is that people experience actual benefit from a religious practice or a belief, and they truly do experience benefit from that exercise of faith. And then rather than thinking that it was the exercise of faith that connected them to something greater than themselves, they think that it's the particular way that they connected, meaning the particular religion or the particular set of beliefs that they adopted, and that therefore those beliefs are the only beliefs that are allowed to get you into heaven, as it were, or to raise your consciousness. And so that's where you get people thinking that their religion is the only true religion, or as I like to call them, the OTWs, the one true religions, or the one true way, the one true way, the OTWs. So it's a paradox, because to really invest and surrender to a religious phenomena, or to a spiritual practice to the degree that it takes to receive benefit from it, does take a sort of leap of faith. And that is so scary to do, in certain ways, that it makes sense that people want to believe that that's the only method of connecting with something higher than themselves or beyond them. And when I say higher than themselves, again, this is my perspective on it, is that we are integrated into a greater mind, that all that is the greater mind, and that we are interacting within that, not supplicants to it, not reaching out to it for favor, but rather interacting within it and influenced by and influencing and ourselves influencing it, in the same way that cells in a body will influence all the other cells in a body. And so that's why I talk about the greater mind. That's one of the phrases that I use to try to describe my conception of what people sometimes refer to as God. Personally, the reason I don't really like to use the word God is because I've noticed that for most people, when they say God or when I say God, it conjures up a particular archetype that is, at least in our culture, it tends to usually conjure up the old white man with the big flowing beard archetype. And I'd like to point out that that pretty much looks like Thor. So I don't think when people are talking about, if people really break it down and realize that the archetype that they're hitching their wagon to is essentially Thor, maybe they would let go of it a little bit more and not be so attached to it. That the idea that God is male and God is, you know, an old judgmental guy who sits on a cloud and kind of sets you up to fail, you know, basically sets you up with a bunch of rules that you can't possibly 100% follow and then is looking to trip you up. I know that some people approach religion that way. And that's the dark side of religion, is when it becomes a kind of self-abuse or abuse of others. To imagine that the supreme consciousness that the whole universe kind of has it in for you is a pretty crappy way to live. So, and sometimes people get caught up in the idea that, you know, you have to have faith in a certain God or a certain religious view in order to be saved and so forth. And the idea that, you know, if you don't believe in God, that's a sin and that sort of thing. I find that particularly absurd because let's just break that down. If even in the conventional Western idea of God, God knows your every thought and your every intention and knows your heart, right? And knows everything that you've ever, everything that has ever influenced you and brought you to the position or the thoughts that you have currently. And so if you found yourself being an atheist, God would be able to see every event and thought that you had been influenced by or that you had had over the course of your life, and how it would probably make a lot of sense logically within that context for you to be an atheist. So I think of God looking at a person who's an atheist, and you know, even in within that narrative, and seeing all the thoughts and beliefs and experiences of that person, and that God would say, yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense to me that you're an atheist. So God, I can't imagine that the supreme consciousness of the whole wide universe would care if people are atheists or not. God doesn't need you to believe in God. By the same token, I do, from personal experience and from observation and from engaging with other people in my work, I do think that people tend to get a lot of value from seeing themselves in one way or another as part of something bigger, part of something greater than themselves. And whether that has a supernatural aspect or is more of a sense of being connected by community or by family or by care for others in a completely secular way. In some kind of a way, people do seem to really benefit from having a sense of that they aren't just isolated beings. I don't think we are truly isolated from one another. I think that isolation is an illusion. So my particular belief structure is that the reason why we long to feel connected is because we long to experience the truth, the underlying truth beneath the illusion of separateness. I was listening back to the first part of this podcast and it occurred to me that I said Thor when really what I meant more was Zeus. But, you know, there you go. That's an academic nuance in the archetypes. But so just for any of you archetype wonks out there and who are going to go, she does not mean Thor. I want to give you a shout out, first of all, for being a cool person who cares about these things. And then also say what I really meant was Zeus. I think Thor, I don't know enough about Thor, minus the comic book version of Thor. And I don't think it's exactly Odin either. Odin would be the comparable archetype in the Norse mythology to the Greek archetype of Zeus. My son would be all over me telling me the nuances of the differences between Odin, Thor, and Zeus, because he is really, truly an archetype wonk, which is kind of cool. So I want to talk also just a little bit about what I hope to do in this going forward for this podcast. I see it as a place for us all to explore what spirituality means to us, and create a platform for thought about different ways to connect with meaning in our lives. Personally, I am, I guess, pretty deeply spiritual. See how I had qualified it, I guess, pretty deeply. But no, I am. It's funny. I am deeply spiritual, and I try to integrate a spiritual underlying meaning in all that I do. In just describing it a moment ago, I was sort of, see, I'm doing it again, I'm saying sort of and kind of, I'm adding all of these little qualifiers to make myself, to create a little bit of a distance between myself and that fundamental meaningfulness that I have, that is meaningful to me. And that speaks directly to what I would like to accomplish in this podcast, is that I would like us all to be able to dig our heels in, those of us who want to, not everybody wants to, and that's cool, but for those of us who want to dig our heels in a little bit more deeply into acknowledging our own spirituality unapologetically and without qualifications, without having to qualify it or feel a little bit shy or embarrassed about it. It's a strange thing to have to feel shy and embarrassed about, but we all, in one way or another, come bump up against that, I think. Especially those of us who are not easily pigeonholed, easily categorized as, oh, she's a blah, blah, blah-ist, or whatever it is. There's a kind of comfort, a sort of sense of instant tribal belonging to be able to call yourself an ist or an ism very smoothly and easily. And those of us who are less conventional, and I hope that there will be listeners who will be interested in this sort of thing, those of us who are a bit less conventional in our approach to things, don't have any easy membership cards, don't have any easy ways to define ourselves. And I don't even want to be defined, but when one is giving the elevator pitch about their beliefs, it's nice to have a little handy dandy expression to use, which is why I named this podcast Spiritual, Not Religious, because that is one of the sort of handy dandy ways that people define themselves, but in fact it's very difficult to say exactly what that means, and it means 100,000 different things to every single person. And so I think that's an exciting opportunity. And I will be posting every day is the intention that I'm setting for this. And I hope that going forward, we can start a dialogue and I can meet some of my tribe members out there. And thank you very, 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 very much for listening. My name again is Tracy Rowe. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor and energy worker and a fellow tribes member on the road, I hope, with you. Thank you so much.